News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you find yourself getting like way outside the range of our AM FM capabilities here at WVNN, which pretty much means you have to be out of, you know, North Alabama, South Tennessee, then just know you got another option. Go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, that website is like Grand Central for Right Side Radio. So all of our podcasting goes on there in every form you can imagine. Birdman does a great job of keeping that website up to date. All of our sponsors are on there. So if there's a direct supporter of this program, a team member, we call them, they are on that page also. You can find their logos and click right on them. If you want to read the op-eds that Copper and I write every single week, they're posted on there. If you want to shop in the Right Side store, get you a coffee mug or some Right Side socks, because everybody needs Right Side socks. I'm just, you know what? It's like a fashion trend. I'm pretty sure the day that bowling shoes become a fashion statement, that Right Side socks will also be too. No, they're cooler than that. They're just cooler than that. But anyway, all that to say, rightsideradio.org. Everything that you want to know about the show is on there, plus the ability to listen live. Hey, a moment ago, I did my monologue there on presidential doctrines. One of those that I mentioned was the Reagan Doctrine. And if you recall also, aside from Reagan's doctrine that he would support efforts to overthrow communist tyranny, he also had the undying belief as a part of his presidential doctrine of peace through strength. He believed that the world was safer, that the United States was safer, that our way of life was safer as long as we were positioned to defend it. Not that we were aggressive, not that we were going to reach out and try to tag somebody, but that we were in the position to do all that is necessary to defend it. I got a great clip here. Copper, you good to go on that clip one? I see it says ready on the board. Just highlight that if you're still good. Okay, great. Let's do this. What a great segue. Let me just play you, it's less than a minute long, Ronald Reagan speaking at the National Convention, his thoughts on what became a part of the Reagan Doctrine. Go ahead and hit it.
We're not a warlike people. Quite the opposite. We always seek to live in peace. We resort to force infrequently and with great reluctance, and only after we've determined that it's absolutely necessary. We are awed, and rightly so, by the forces of destruction that loosen the world in this nuclear era. But neither can we be naive or foolish. Four times in my lifetime, America has gone to war, bleeding the lives of its young men into the sands of island beachheads, the fields of Europe, and the jungles and rice paddies of Asia. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted. We simply cannot learn these lessons the hard way again without risking our destruction.
When we are weak, tyrants are tempted. And I have to look at that and recognize that the issues that we are seeing right now, that I named a series of them that are happening on the world stage right now. In fact, the other day I did a whole segment on the show about, I called it a walk in Biden's world. The things that we are seeing right now on the national and on the international level, While there were rumblings of some, and there were wars and rumors of wars, so to speak, the reality is there were more rumors than there were wars. Right now, we are seeing outright testing of the United States, testing of our NATO alliances, testing of our positions on things like Taiwan. And I'm going to tell you right now, what a great statement, and I'm not a warmonger by any stretch. I'm not even a war hawk. But what I am is someone who believes strongly that the Reagan Doctrine of peace through strength was the way to go. It's still the way to go. And if you cannot defend what you've got, then others will be tempted to take it. And what we're looking at right now is exactly what he just said. In a time of weakness, tyrants are tempted. And I really believe that what we're seeing right now on the world stage is that very thing. I think what we're seeing right now is the fact that Putin, he didn't do what he did during the Trump years. He took Crimea during the Obama-Biden years, and he invaded Ukraine in full, like he's doing right now, during the Biden years. If you'll notice, too, if you look back, when did the troop movement begin? When did Putin begin massing on the Ukrainian border? He did it within 60 days of Biden taking office. That's right. Those troops have been massing on the borders since about last March or April. And they slowly just grew in size with nothing being done to counter it, with nothing being done to supply the Ukrainians well in advance, even had the weapon systems that the Trump administration had promised to Ukraine being slow-rolled then by the Biden administration. They didn't even deliver them until upwards of 160,000 Soviet or Russian troops were massed on the border. When we are weak, tyrants are tempted. What a great doctrine. All right, we're going to come back in a minute, though. Number one of the Triple Dipper. You know, I'm really fascinated by watching Governor Ron DeSantis down in Florida. And I found an article last night by Kurt Schlichter on townhall.com called The DeSantis Doctrine. This is cool. All right, we're going to break that down when we come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. You hang on. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, you may have just heard an ad a moment ago, 1819news.com. That's a website that I wind up doing a lot of my research through because they've got the great touch on state-level news. So 1819, that's 1819 News. It was named after the year that Alabama became a state, in case you were wondering. But 1819news.com is actually affiliated also with the Alabama Policy Institute, where Right Side Radio sprang out of. So these folks are conservative, they are solid, and they also call balls and strikes. So just like I try to do on this show, even if I don't like the politician or the policy, but I understand they did something right, I'll say they did it right. Well, the same is true in this news. So it's not skewed news is what I'm trying to say. 1819news.com has a great stable of writers and reporters, and they are going at it right now, and they are making a dent in the mainstream Alabama-sourced news. You don't have to go to AL.com and all that all the time now. You got 1819 News you can look at. So check them out, 1819news.com. That's their website. That's 1819news.com. I use them. I know the people who run the place personally, and Copper and I both write an op-ed that goes in there every week. So check them out, 1819news.com. So, DeSantis Doctrine. So as I just went through the whole thing a minute ago about what doctrines are, why in some leadership positions it's important to have them, because, you know, it basically sets the tone, if you will. Like when I said in my monologue, when I took battalion command, I issued my command philosophy, which is not something I just thought up on my own. I mean, it's something that you actually you're sort of trained to do. Not everybody does it, but you're still trained. That's what they call a best practice. So I did, and what it does though is it sets the tone. On day one, I let my troops know, here's the command philosophy for your new commander. And that's something that presidents and other leaders should do, is set the tone and make it known that this is the way I handle key events. All right, that being said, they're typically seen, like I said in my monologue, on issues of like military and foreign policy. But it's interesting, I read this article, and I think this is what kind of got my gears turning about doctrine today. Kurt Schlichter wrote a piece in townhall.com. Came out yesterday. Got a copy right here. He calls it the DeSantis Doctrine. So Ron DeSantis is governor of Florida, right? I mean, the guy's turning into a rock star in conservative circles. And it's not because he says the right things. It's because he does the right things. Praise God to find someone who says, this is the way it should be, and here's what I'm going to do to try and get there. All right, so what is the DeSantis Doctrine? Well, Kurt Schlichter says basically it's sort of like, you know, instead of having the Monroe Doctrine, you got the DeSantis Doctrine. And the DeSantis Doctrine, whereas Monroe was designed to keep, you know, foreigners out of our hemisphere, the DeSantis Doctrine, in his words, keeps woke fascists out of our lives. Love that. He says, basically, DeSantis has been laying down the law in Florida. And he goes on to say that, you know, Donald Trump is known for being, you know, the guy who goes after things, but he's like got a different style. Donald Trump is more abrasive. Donald Trump is the kind of guy who gives them, gives the left reasons to hate him that they can attack outside of his policies. He points out that they're having a hard time attacking DeSantis because, I mean, nobody's perfect, but he's not subject to mean tweets. He's not subject to, you know, irascible behavior. He's not subject to midnight policy positions that come out on social media. No, he's just solid. But at the same time, in his words, he says DeSantis is all honey badger, just laying waste and making the rubble bounce. So here's what he says. He says the DeSantis Doctrine is summed up this way. Your garbage institutions don't mean anything to me. I'm going to ruthlessly wield my power to protect normal people from your depredations, and I'm going to smile doing it. You got to love this. I mean, and by the way, I'm going to give you some examples here in a minute, but Kurt Schlichter is sort of summing it up because what we've been seeing now since DeSantis got elected in, what, 2019, I believe, or took office in 2019. He got elected in 2018. Since he took office, he has been on a tear, man. The guy has been on a holy roll, and it's like every single week is another press conference where, you know, he comes out and says, yeah, this thing is happening, and here's what we're going to do about it. Like, for instance, recently, they just passed legislation, partly at his behest, that keeps discussions of sexual orientation and gender identity out of elementary schools. Well, why is that controversial? Well, because it's the left, right? That's the left, right? Because it's the left. Anyway, the left freaked out over it. They called it the Don't Say Gay bill. No, it wasn't. In fact, he even called out a reporter who used that term. He says, where does it say that in the bill? Well, we all know that what it is you don't want anybody saying gay. No, it doesn't. Where does it say that in the bill? This is why people don't trust you, he said. This is why people cannot trust the mainstream media, because you want to slant things like that. What we're talking about here, he said, is literally not sexualizing our little children. Well, Disney thought they'd be cute. Disney didn't think anybody from the governor's office in Florida would buck them because they're Disney. Well, China-hugging Disney tried to push the governor of Florida around, and he told him to pound sand. He basically called them out hard and said, before you start judging things like that, you're supposed to be family friendly. How about you remember your place? And oh, by the way, could you stop taking so much money from China since they're a human rights violator at every single turn? Wow. Now, Kurt Schlichter makes the point, and I get this because this is a position that I typically lean towards. He points out that most conservatives do not like government regulation that tells corporations what to do. It's not like we don't believe there should be laws, but it's like overregulation or lashing out at private entities is really not what government's supposed to do on a regular basis. But he makes a point, and I've made this point before too. We've had these debates at the Policy Institute. Like, for instance, when was it Birmingham Southern? Yeah, Birmingham Southern came out with their mask mandate. They're a private college. Okay, do we take action? Does ACLL file suit? Those discussions were being bandied about. Well, they're a private entity. Do we tell the private entity what they can't? Well, Kurt Schlichter makes a point here. In the DeSantis Doctrine, he points out that there's a constant weaponization of corporations. They are constantly trying to enact public policy by private entities. I saw it all the time, man. I'm down there in Montgomery as a state senator, and the representative of Apple comes into my office, Apple Computers, wanting me to pass legislation that would establish gender identity as a protected class in state law. And I looked at him and I said, well, no, we're not going to create a whole new protected class for somebody's decision that they're a female instead of a male. But all that to say, that was a classic case of a public policy position being enacted in ways or worked on by private institutions. Well, here's the deal. Ron DeSantis has basically said, you know what? If you're going to continue to fight over these bizarre and repellent pillars of modern liberalism, like, you know, fighting to get your perverts to groom our kids in schools, or, you know, fighting over whether you can abort a child 30 seconds before they're born, or fighting over the need to strangle our energy industry so we have to pay $10 a gallon for unleaded gas, or, you know, fighting over the desire to coddle up criminals and let, you know, street people take a crap on the sidewalk in San Francisco. I mean, all this stuff is literally happening on a left and on the left. It's all happening around us. Ron DeSantis is saying, "Stop the madness." And if what he basically said in his policies, his doctrine, the DeSantis doctrine, as Kurt Schlichter calls it, is if you are a corporation pushing these things upon our people, while it is not my usual place as a conservative to go and do something against a private entity, I will. Because in his words, here's the thing, a conservative principle that results in conservatives being less free is a pretty crappy principle. So to sum it up, Kurt Schlichter says the DeSantis doctrine is, and here's his quote, "It means that you unashamedly use the power that you're given to defeat the leftist agenda, and you don't shrink from cultural fights just because of all the Twitter people who try to tell you that you're somehow obligated to back away. It means not just winning elections, it means winning fights." Yes, absolutely. So that's that. The DeSantis doctrine really got my gears turning. So who's Ron DeSantis? I thought it was worth, okay, if I'm going to talk about the doctrine, who's the guy? I learned things about it just by looking him up last night. Here's his official bio. I'm just going to take a part of it. He's a native of Florida, comes from a blue-collar family, but he got a scholarship or something to Yale University. He worked his way through school, though. He graduated with honors from Yale. He was also the captain of the varsity baseball team. And then he went to Harvard Law School, where he also graduated with honors. And then he got his commission in the U.S. Navy. He served as a JAG officer for a period of time on active duty. It says here that he's actually still in the Navy Reserve, even as the governor. He spent time in Iraq as a JAG officer, advising a Navy SEAL team or SEAL commander in Fallujah and Ramadi. After active duty, he was a federal prosecutor. He specialized in convicting child predators. He was first elected to Congress in 2012. I happen to know he was a member of the Freedom Caucus, one of the most conservative groups in Congress. While he was there, by the way, not only did he fight for term limits, he also fought to cut taxes. And then while serving in Congress, and I appreciate this, he refused to take his congressional pension or his health insurance plan because he thought those were special deals that were just put in place for politicians. Very interesting. Been a very public thing lately about his wife, Casey, who is an Emmy Award-winning television host herself. But Casey has been battling with cancer, and she's doing well. And they have several kids, small children, like five and under. So as DeSantis is doing his thing, let me tell you, when we get back from the break, I'm going to go through some situation or some reminders of policy positions he's taken. If the DeSantis doctrine, Copper, you can go ahead and move us to a break, but if the DeSantis doctrine is literally to go and fight wokeism and to keep it out of our lives, and if I'm telling you he's a man of action, apparently, then what actions has he taken? Well, I'll give you some. Like points from his speech at CPAC that then also came out in his actions as governor. Things in education. Things like when he gets his people's back on vaccines for kids. Things like the Stop Woke Act or proposing gas tax suspensions. All of that. I'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, I love finding a conservative leader to look at. Good stuff. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Spending some time here in the first part of the Triple Dipper talking about doctrine. I spent my monologue just talking about, you know, doctrines, why they matter, why you have them, presidential doctrines that have been famous throughout history, like the Monroe Doctrine, the Reagan Doctrine, the Bush Doctrine, the Truman Doctrine. And then I went into the fact that what we don't see, can't find, is there any evidence of it, is a Biden Doctrine. And the absence of a doctrine creates confusion on the world stage and generates difficulty, if you will. But then I went into the next segment I'm doing right now is called the DeSantis Doctrine. Now, he's a governor. It's not international foreign policy we're talking about. It's not a question of where he stands militarily. No, he's the governor of the state of Florida. But a guy named Kurt Schlichter wrote a piece in townhall.com that I thought was pretty significant called the DeSantis Doctrine. And basically what he says is the DeSantis Doctrine is to say, wokists might as well back off my people, and I will do what is necessary to crush you. And he even at one point, I may be in the minority on this, but how many of you, Copper, have you ever seen the movie? I do this to you all the time. I know I do. Have you ever seen the movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie, Conan the Barbarian?
I've seen clips from it, but never straight through.
Have you ever seen the part where he's the kind of the silent gladiator style mm-hmm. warrior, and he's sitting there, and they ask him what is the greatest thing?
Oh yes, that's a great line.
To drive your enemies before you, to crush them, and to hear the lamentations of the women. Yes. All right, that's. He basically, Kurt Schlichter says that's basically the summation of the DeSantis Doctrine when it comes to liberals. All right, things that are happening though that kind of prove this out, that it's not just Kurt Schlichter writing, you know, like he has a man crush on DeSantis or something like that. No, for instance, Ron DeSantis recently came and spoke at CPAC, the Conservative Policy Conference. He was touted there as America's governor. His profile is really rising in Republican circles. But he took the stage, and they literally basically championed the things he's been doing while he's down there in Florida. He took the lead against pandemic restrictions. His state has been one of the freest. He also dealt with things like election integrity, voting integrity. He's been he's been battling with the teachers union down there, working on education things, increasing penalties for unlawful protests for like Black Lives Matter when they were ransacking other parts of the nation. Separate story here from Jacksonville on newsforjax.com. It's one of their local sites. Governor DeSantis just signed a bill in the last couple of days that eliminates what is known as Florida's standards assessments. In other words, he looked at education and he said, I'm tired of the standardized testing at the end of the year. I want something different. And so they are ending what's known as the FSA, the Florida Standardized Assessments, which in his words, basically tell a kid well after the fact how they're doing, with no indication along the way of how to improve their scores and get ready for the final test. So they're introducing a new system into the bill that he pushed for and signed, fighting the teachers union all the way, that basically puts in a series of tests throughout the year that are smaller in scope, but they give feedback and allow the kids then to get some indications of where they stand. Another thing that tells me who he is the fact that he will get his people's back. The Surgeon General, which is a state health officer who is actually accountable to the governor down there, unlike Alabama, where we don't have any accountability from our health officer, was taking all kinds of heat. Florida Surgeon General Joseph Lapido, who I've featured on the show before, recently came out and said, in terms of feedback to the general public, that he does not advise getting children 5 and under vaccinated for COVID. And he's taken all kinds of heat for it. And DeSantis, in a press conference, got his man's back and says, Florida's a free state. You're free to do what you want with the information you're given. He said, what my Surgeon General said is, you're free to do what you want as a parent. Well, first of all, I mean, how many different things were there in that one paragraph there that I just kind of outlined for you that say a lot, not the least of which is he stood up for one of his people. He recently passed his behest, got the Woke Act passed, the Stop Woke Act. He pushed for it. It is working right now. The governor wants to give parents the ability to sue schools if they think a district is teaching critical race theory, which, by the way, he signed a ban on last year, an executive order banning the teaching of critical race theory in any school throughout the state of Florida. And then on the top of this, in March 9th this year, his gas tax freeze that he first proposed back before the invasion of Ukraine, because the gases were always high at that point, 26.5 cents per gallon, he has asked for the legislature to waive it for a year. A year. He is willing to sacrifice up to $1 billion of revenue to the state of Florida if it means helping his people. Well, the legislature is kind of waffling a little bit on it, but he is leading on the issue and pushing for it. He was one of the first governors in the nation to think of this as an opportunity for the people of the state. I'm just going to tell you right now, I like DeSantis. I like the DeSantis doctrine. I look forward to seeing what happens with him in days to come. All right, coming up next, Copper and the Birdman. I'm looking forward to this. We'll see what they have to say about world events. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.